Welcome, everybody, to the Bros and Consoles podcast mini-series Solo Gaming Updates. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette. This is episode 29, I believe, of the mini-series. It's gone on way longer than I think anyone would have guessed. This is coming to you December 8th, so yes, for people who are keen-eared listeners and whatnot, it is 1 week past, I think, when I had originally said I was probably going to be back. My apologies for the extra week of delay in episodes. I am now done with board exams. I had to do a lot of studying and stuff for that last portion of the board exams, and hopefully now everything will be all good to go. Just going to wait for the results. It takes about like a month and a half or so, if you can believe it. It's pretty crazy sometimes to think about these things, but yeah, now I've got lots of free time outside of work and everything, of course, and regular life. But yeah, I just want to take a real quick moment here to basically kind of check in with everybody. I don't get to do this very often because basically, you know, these stats and things come out, I think, basically about once a year. But we got some stats for the podcast and everything, which is pretty cool. I think Anchor now is owned by Spotify, and so Spotify is kind of the people that do the kind of wrap-up as far as kind of like listeners and episodes and things like that. It's pretty cool to kind of look into those things. I'm not going to bore you guys with all those stats kind of related to those things on the podcast, but I did want to kind of give a quick shout-out because it's not something that we get to talk about super often. And kind of like the locations that people are listening from, which I just think is really cool and very humbling in a way. Want to give some quick shout outs here. We've got some listeners over in the province of Leinster in Ireland, which is really cool. We've got quite a few listeners over in England as well, in the UK. I've got some Canadian listeners over in these ones. We have a little bit more of a breakdown in terms of kind of the I guess like more. Rather than like the general area, we kind of have a little bit of a smaller province breakdown and stuff in areas like Canada. I've got some listeners over in Ontario, as well as Manitoba and New Brunswick. And a few other countries that at one time or another have like tuned in and stuff to the podcast, which is very cool to see. Places like the Netherlands, Russia, the Czech Republic, India. I think we had some listeners from Sweden and Vietnam and Norway, Lithuania, Spain, Fiji, apparently, as well, Mexico, Germany, Nepal, New Zealand, Portugal, Brazil, Singapore, Japan, Austria, Italy, the Philippines, and yeah, I think I got everyone in there, and also the United Arab Emirates as well. Very, very cool just to kind of see where everyone is listening at and stuff, and very humbling at the same time, like I said. So I just want to thank you guys all, guys and gals all, for listening and you know, coming and tuning into this little sometimes silly podcast that we do here. But yeah, it's very, very humbling. I'm very proud to have people listening from all over the world, basically. And as well as, of course, in the United States, we do have kind of like state breakdowns and stuff here. Some of the biggest ones here are from Oregon, as well as Ohio and Hawaii. Those are actually the three biggest ones. Very surprised about the Ohio one. I hadn't actually seen that until recently. And it looks like it's kind of like shot up in terms of like the percentage of people that are listening from those different states. The majority of that looks like it's over in Columbus, but we've had a little few listeners over in Cleveland and Marshville apparently as well. So thanks, Ohio. But overall, man, I could go through all the different states and things there. Obviously we've got people from California listening as well. I've got some family over there and they may have tuned in at one time or another. But even in areas that I'm not familiar with in California, which has been pretty cool, like, Mountain View, I have no idea kind of where that is. California is such a big state that it's tough to kind of tell exactly where things are and whatnot. And it's been a long time since I lived in California, so I'm no longer kind of like versed in like where things are located and whatnot there. But very, very cool to see all the different states. We've even got some people from like Washington and Virginia, Texas, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Michigan, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Alabama, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia. So thank you guys all for tuning in and listening, and I hope that we continue to entertain you all into the end of this year as well as the start of 2021 as well, and hopefully not just the start of it, hopefully throughout the year. But yeah, thank you guys again for listening, and let's go ahead and get on with episode 29 over here of the Solo Gaming Updates. Man, it has been a crazy past few weeks here. Obviously, like I said, studying for boards was, you know, something on its own that was pretty, you know, taxing for my mental capacity and everything. But I did here and there manage to get in some game time, especially once the tests had all finished up and whatnot. So I actually got a good amount of use out of the Vita during that time period. I got to go on there and finish up a trophy list that I had one remaining trophy on for basically the last 5 years. And that game itself is Nidhogg. It's one of the games you can play on the PS4 or the Vita. I don't remember if it's on the PS3 as well. The trophy list doesn't seem like it is, but it's kind of a cross-gen trophy list kind of thing where you can, if you play it on the Vita or the PS4, it's the same list basically. And the one that I had left over was a trophy called Hoglike, which basically you have to play through the single-player campaign without any recorded like deaths on your part, which for people who are familiar with Nidhogg is pretty insane. And luckily there's a way to kind of get around having to constantly restart your single player playthrough every single time. What I learned is that as you're playing, if you're in a match, right, the goal in Nidhogg is you're on one side of the screen, your opponent's on the other side, and you have to take your opponent down first on that static screen. And then once you do that, the screen starts to move in the direction that you have to run, right? So if you're on the left side, you have to run to the right. And that's kind of how that is for single player. And then basically, so you take your opponent down, you start to run to the right. You have to make it through three different moving screens before you get to the end, and that's where you finish the match or level kind of thing. And you have to do that, I believe, something close to like 16 times. It's a 16 different opponents kind of thing. The AI for each opponent changes slightly and it gets progressively more difficult. You kind of have to really like learn the different patterns and things there. But what I did learn is that even though this trophy is kind of a nightmare to get, with or without this little kind of like life trophy hack here, it's still doable. It's just very, very annoying to do. But what you can do is, as you're going through, right, if you do end up getting downed by your opponent, right, or you happen to like fall through the bottom of the screen and you end up like dying that way and stuff, basically you just have to make it so that your opponent wins that round, and then you redo the round without restarting the entire single player campaign. But if you do that, and then you, on your next round, win the match without dying, that will count towards your whole playthrough overall, and that'll basically have given you, you know, quote-unquote, zero deaths throughout the entire thing. So it's a little bit of a kind of, I don't know if you'd call it like an oversight or just kind of like a weird trophy loophole kind of thing there. But man, if this thing wasn't available, this trophy would be like nigh impossible pretty much. So very, very grateful that I could get that list off the back burner there. And I think it's on PSN Profiles, it says it took a total of 5 years and 5 months to finish that whole thing. So, and only 12 trophies, no platinum either. It's just I think it was just a gold trophy, and that's the last one you had to do. So very happy to be done with that one there. I also got to platinum a game called Football Game, and no, it's not actually a game where you play football. It is basically a kind of a point-and-click adventure game. It is published by Rotalaika Games, so as you can imagine, the platinum trophy is pretty easy and obtainable there. It's a good list of about 10 golds and 5 silvers along with the platinum. And overall, actually, the story was pretty interesting. This is one that you can definitely beat through in an hour or under if you've got a guide with you. And basically, you're kind of, you know, like classic adventure games, you're trying to kind of find the ways that these different items work together with the environment and what you have to kind of give to certain people and things to progress forward. But in the background there, there's kind of an interesting story going on that your character is trying to kind of piece together, because he's a high schooler, and he wakes up, I think from being passed out from drinking or something, and he's trying to find his girlfriend and stuff to go and give her this piece of jewelry. It's like a gift, basically. Trying to give her this jewelry gift, and he can't find her, so he's asking around for like where she is and stuff, and he's slowly piecing together kind of what's going on. And as you kind of slowly make it through, you're seeing kind of memories with yourself and the girlfriend. And then over time, you start to realize that like your memories aren't, as the memories start to come back, things are kind of making a little bit more sense to your character and hopefully to yourself as well, who's playing. But yeah, it's kind of, it's got an interesting twist towards the end. It's kind of slightly open-ended, I think, as well, where people can kind of interpret possibly different things there. But overall, pretty cool game. And it does have a dual list as well. So separate lists for the Vita and the PS4 version. And the game is cross-buy. So I have the Vita Platinum, and I'll probably get the PS4 Platinum eventually as well. But cool game. I recommend checking it out if you like adventure games and interesting kind of mystery stories going on as well. Got to play a little bit of SteamWorld Heist on the Vita. That one, I've played a few levels now. I think before I had played like the tutorial level and maybe one level after that. And it was a cool like mechanic and everything of the way that it kind of does 2D turn-based action and whatnot. And I liked actually going through and playing more of the levels and kind of finding some of the different characters. There's no actual like voice acting in the game. It's all just kind of like they make like garbled noises and stuff depending on who's talking. But it's a cute game, and I like the kind of premise behind everything. It's basically you guys are robots living in a steam-powered world kind of thing, and your crew of, I guess, like, quote-unquote outlaws or pirates or whatever you want to call them are basically kind of trying to make it in the outskirts of space while taking care of people like bandits and, I guess, like the kind of crooked robot empire kind of thing as well. But I like where it's going so far. I'm going to keep on playing through that. It's a little bit longer of a story, so I'm going to hopefully have time to see through that later on. I also did get to boot up Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered on the PS5. I got to basically, once I kind of re-downloaded everything on the PS4 and whatnot, I managed to get my save transferred over into the cloud and everything, and then re-download that save on the PS5, and that's because of the way it's been programmed and whatnot, it basically just pops all the trophies for you. So I basically have the majority of the trophies there, including the Platinum, and aside from a few of the newer trophies that were added for the PS5 version specifically, I think there was a couple there that I don't have, as well as the trophy for completing New Game Plus on the I think the extra added difficulty that was added in when New Game Plus was originally patched into the PS4 version. And that's the same, those two trophies I also don't have on the PS4 version as well, which is why they didn't transfer in. But I wanted it that way because I did want to go and play through the game again on the PS5 to basically kind of see how things look now and how it plays and feels and everything on the new system. So I am saving that for another time because I did go and play through Spider-Man Miles Morales a couple times as well to get the Platinum on that game. It took a total of a couple weeks and a few days on that one. But man, that game, ooh. If you guys are a fan of Spider-Man games or just kind of like Spider-Man lore in general and stuff and enjoyed what you played of the PS4 Spider-Man or Marvel Spider-Man, man, this game is quite the experience where I really loved Marvel Spider-Man itself, and somehow this game manages to be better than its I guess then like the original like Spider-Man kind of thing. And you could say that, yeah, like the studio that worked on it can basically kind of like learned from that original game and now was able to kind of take everything into account for the next one. But at the same time, the kind of love and care that was put into this game and the like authenticity that they went into in terms of like the research that kind of went into creating Spanish Harlem and everything within New York City in the game, it really made this game feel a lot more personal. And I don't mean that in the sense that like I grew up or like ever lived or have been to like Spanish Harlem and stuff in New York, but in the sense that it feels like a real city and it feels like you have a place within that city. Whereas in Marvel Spider-Man, you're basically just kind of like web-slinging all over the place. And yeah, like you may recognize things from like the movies or, and I say the movies like the actual Spider-Man movies, as well as just kind of like the Avengers and Marvel Cinematic Universe, in terms of like, you'll see things like the, I forget what the name of that place is, the New York location for like the Doctor Strange building and stuff there. That's, wow, I'm so bad at remembering these different things. But yeah, you have like the building that kind of the monks and everything live at or like protect in New York City from the Doctor Strange movies. You've got like the Avengers Tower and things. And then it's kind of the idea in there is that like, yeah, like you're the protector of New York City as Spider-Man in that game. And Spider-Man in that game, Peter Parker, has been doing this for a long time. Spoilers for people who didn't know Spider-Man was Peter Parker. If you're super out of the loop for these things. But, well, no, that was just a joke, guys. But anyways, the idea is that, like, yeah, you're going around swinging out in the city, you're saving everybody, stopping crimes, stopping the big baddies and everything. You got this huge overarching story, which is really cool with, like, Mr. Negative and all those things there. And back in 2018, that was one of my favorite games that year. But thinking back on it now and kind of seeing where we are with Spider-Man Miles Morales, it's clear that the game that, or the previous game kind of lacked that feeling of like, you know, deep connection with the city. As Spider-Man, I don't think I ever really thought about, you know, my place within the city. I thought of my connections with people in the city, and maybe just kind of like helping with like crimes and things like that. But I didn't ever think of myself as having like a like quote unquote home within the city. Whereas in Miles Morales, you're really kind of like central, you're really centered in like your hometown area of like Harlem over there that you that Miles moves to basically from Brooklyn. And it really gives you this sense of like community, and it very much so ties up towards the end as well. And that's the thing that kind of really makes it special in comparison to Marvel Spider-Man from 2018. And I think without those things, like those things could have easily kind of just been pushed on the side, and this could have just been a, you know, Spider-Man 2.0 kind of thing where you play as Miles rather than Peter. And the game probably would have been very fun as well, but it wouldn't have had those same kind of like connection notes. And I think that's kind of what really has pushed this game, you know, past the levels of greatness that the original game brought to the PlayStation ecosystem. And man, I think I'm definitely going to do a spoiler cast for Miles Morales because, you know, I haven't made a list to kind of finish everything off this year yet. But at the moment, Miles Morales is my favorite game of this year. And favorite game that came out this year that I played and everything, right? Because there's obviously a lot of games that I haven't gotten to play this year. Things like The Last of Us Part 2. I do have it loaded up and everything. But I think even kind of looking at different things and knowing my own tastes and whatnot, I don't see really any other games that could possibly push past this one, because this one kind of resonated with me so much. And hopefully I'll be able to kind of go into a little bit more detail on that in the future spoiler cast and everything. But yeah, if you guys are on the fence about picking up Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, or just kind of, you know, like you're partway through it and maybe you started playing some other things and got sidetracked, I really urge you to go back and finish up that game and finish that story, because, man, by the end of it, and even after the end of it, when you kind of have some of the stuff to do in the epilogue, there's a lot of really great moments there that are super memorable and I don't think will be forgotten by myself anytime soon. I am considering even going and playing the PS4 version just to go and get the Platinum again. Obviously, there's no like DLC trophies, or I don't think they have any DLC planned for the game and whatnot. And the fact that the game is a little bit more concise, it's not quite as kind of long-toothed as the original game was, or Marvel Spider-Man, I should say. I think that kind of it plays to its own advantage as well, and makes it worth probably going and playing the PS4 version as well. Now, I'm curious to see kind of what the difference is between kind of playing the PS5 one and playing the PS4 version. I'm not sure when I'm gonna be able to do that, but I think it would be an interesting thing to kind of compare side by side if possible. So hopefully we'll see. We'll see what happens there and see where it goes. Now, the last one, or actually last few that I'll mention, I did manage to 100% Kung Fu Rabbit, which is a huge gear change from talking about a super amazing game in Spider-Man Miles Morales and changing over to Kung Fu Rabbit on the Vita. This is also one that came out a long, long time ago, and this one I think I just took just over 5 years as well to finish up this list. It was basically kind of finishing up, I think, like couple dozen or so levels in the game on hardcore mode to be able to kind of get the last trophy there, and so it was nice to kind of also finish up that one there. It's been nice to just basically finish up these things on the Vita and know that like I'm completely done and they can just be out of my brain forever basically. So that's kind of a nice feeling when I do get to complete things like this. Along with that, I've gotten to play a little bit of Immortals Fenyx Rising. That one I generally like to pop a trophy on the day that it releases, because usually that's when I'm getting these games. For Fenyx Rising, though, I didn't get to do that because I didn't know exactly what trophy I'd be able to pop on that release day. And so I managed to pop a trophy, I think, either today or yesterday. And basically, the game is almost like a PlayStation version of Breath of the Wild, in a way. With the differences that are actually kind of, I think some people might look at the differences as being more of a kind of like downgrade for the game itself. I'm actually kind of enjoying the differences between the two. Whereas, Breath of the Wild or Zelda Breath of the Wild on the Nintendo Switch, whereas that game is a bit more kind of serious and dire and, in a weird way, quiet, kind of like more like peaceful and whatnot in that game. This game feels almost kind of like the opposite, where obviously the combat and things are similar. I don't have the annoying weapon breaking system that I really hate in Breath of the Wild, but I have like same kind of like really awesome traversal. Got the same basic climbing mechanics where you can climb on anything and you have a stamina meter that slowly drains. Unfortunately, there's that stamina meter also drains when you're swimming, which I really hate in the Zelda Breath of the Wild game as well as this game. I just feel like, come on guys, like if you're getting tired from swimming, you know, you just kind of like paddle with your legs for a bit, get your strength back in your arms, then you can keep going. But for this, it's just like, oh no, if I run out of stamina, then I just immediately drown and I'm back to where I was at, you know? So that's kind of always been a weird thing there, but you know, it's video games as well. But on the other kind of notes there, whereas I mentioned that Breath of the Wild is kind of more of a quiet, reflective kind of game, this one, you have Zeus and Prometheus who are kind of narrating in the background. Prometheus is basically telling the story of Fenyx, your character, and kind of narrating what's going on, why she's doing certain things, and where she's going next and whatnot. But along the way, like, Prometheus and Zeus are constantly back and forth kind of bickering slash like talking back and forth at each other, and it really has this it's kind of like a refreshing air of just like in your face like comedy going on, and it's kind of like silly comedy at times as well, whereas other parts can be a little bit deeper too. But I feel like we don't have a lot of games nowadays where comedy is kind of one of the things that's kind of in the forefront. Usually it's kind of like in the background where you kind of get like subtle jabs and puns and jokes and things like that, but there's really kind of more like serious things going on in the front. But in this game, it's like the comedy has kind of been pushed forward and the serious stuff is kind of a little bit further back. And it's almost like because Prometheus is telling this tale as you're playing the game and whatnot, you almost kind of know that like things are probably going pretty fine, you know? And I feel like it kind of, it works well with that air of like comedy in the forefront because it's kind of more of a lighthearted tale, or it feels more like a lighthearted tale. Now, obviously, I haven't gotten super far into this game. I don't know if towards the end it takes like a maybe darker turn in terms of like where your character develops, or where the characters, I guess like just kind of saying it out there, I don't know what happens in terms of if your character lives or dies in the end of the tale, but I do really appreciate having this kind of more lighthearted Greek mythology tale going on here, and I think it's pretty cool. I've been pleasantly surprised so far by what I've played. I've heard some other people that have kind of talked about how maybe this game is something that they're not really thinking too much about when they stop playing. Like, they kind of go away from it, and then they're just like, oh, like, well, I could play it, but I don't really feel like I need to, kind of thing. I'm not saying that at this point I feel the, like, constant urge to go and play more of this game, but I do have in the back of my mind where I'm like, you know what? I was having a lot of fun with Phoenix Rising. I kind of do want to jump back in, just maybe give myself a little bit of a break, jumping back and forth between a few other games, and then jump back in and be like, oh yeah, this is very refreshing, you know? So I'm surprised by what I've seen so far, which is, you know, pretty good. The combat system feels pretty good, and that's kind of one of the main things that needs to feel good in a game like Immortals Phoenix Rising. And I am looking forward to getting my, what are they called? It's basically like wings that you have that can allow you to, like, glide eventually. Right now, I only have the ability to kind of do like a double jump with them. Your wings kind of beat downwards and it propels you further up into the air. So once I do get the gliding, man, it's going to be super, super easier in terms of progressing through, like, areas within the game. Because at the moment, I'm just kind of, like, dashing and running places. But I'm excited to kind of see where this game goes, and I'll kind of keep you guys updated as well. I've also been playing a little bit, just a little bit, of Fortnite. This is also a game that I kind of come back to now and then. I did come back to this game towards the end of this past season. The past season was all, like, Marvel-related, and I managed to get a decent amount into the actual, like, Battle Pass there, and was present during the most recent, like, season change, where kind of the overarching storyline was that Galactus, the Devourer of Worlds, was coming to the Fortnite universe, and he was basically going to eat the planet. And that's kind of why Thor and all these different Marvel characters were there. Thor was there mainly because he was trying to stop Galactus from eating the planet. He's trying to get everybody off of the, like, Fortnite world, in quotes. But apparently, like, when he landed in the world, he starts to forget what's going on and just starts to, like, fight people. And which is an interesting kind of, like, story thing in terms of, like, maybe that's why all these other people are randomly fighting in Fortnite, is because the planet makes you lose your memory, and therefore, like, you just, like, fight, and you're just stuck in this weird, like, loop. And then Thor calls in a bunch of people from the Marvel universe, like Iron Man, Wolverine, Storm, I think even, like, was it She-Hulk and all these different people. You got Groot in there. But it's cool to see kind of all these different, like, characters, and getting to see the change at the end where Galactus kind of, like, rises up from the basically, like, far distance and comes in to start, like, destroying the world. And then you guys kind of have to fly these different, like, battle buses with bombs on them into his mouth. At that kind of scene, you get to see, if you guys haven't seen it, it's probably all over YouTube and whatnot. You can see basically that you're kind of flying through the part of his armor that kind of resembles a Star Wars kind of theme. And then that's why when we get to the new season, you have kind of some Star Wars characters in there, as well as just, like, other bounty hunters and things. So it's been pretty cool kind of going into there. The one difference is that I usually play on the Switch, and I have been playing on the PS5. And it is quite difficult in two ways. One way, it's quite difficult to imagine going back to the Switch, just because I've always known that the Switch version has way worse graphics and, draw distance that you can actually see people from. But I didn't know how bad it was until I went on the PS5 version and saw how amazing the PS5 version could be. Because on the Switch, like, you know, trees will sometimes pop in as you get closer and stuff, and it's sometimes a weird experience. People on this playing on the Switch ecosystem aren't always as, like, skilled and stuff either, and that's the other difficult part, is that on the PS5, people are pretty good. So I know I'm not that good at this game. I've gotten a decent amount of, like, wins and stuff in solo matches, but, man, people on the PS5 kick my butt pretty hard. I think I'm slowly getting better. I've having to play a little bit more cautiously and whatnot, but hopefully if I can kind of get the building part down a little bit better, I'll be able to hopefully, you know, be a bit more competitive on the PS5. The other weird thing though is that the DualSense controller for the PS5, the trigger that you normally use to shoot with does have that extra added resistance feature. And so it's been weird kind of changing the controller I use, because now I have to make sure that I really like pull in the trigger when I'm trying to shoot. Whereas on the Switch, using the Pro Controller, I can just kind of tap it real quickly and I get in a bunch of shots. On the DualSense, I have to really like force it in sometimes, because you really have that extra added resistance there. And it's been an interesting road there. I've been slowly getting used to it, so hopefully I'll start to get a little bit more dubs on the PS5 as well, but we'll see. I think my friend Angelo and I got one recently in duos, which was pretty cool. But also there, like, I think I died partway through and Angelo was the one that finished it up. So that's really an Angelo win there. But yeah, I am very, very glad to be back podcasting for everybody here. I hope you guys are all doing well and staying safe and healthy. If you guys have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter. It is @IndieRonan, all one chunk of word there, no space in between. I haven't done YouTube stuff in a while, but I do have some videos up on there if you guys want to check those out. I've got a few for Fall Guys, and I think I even put up my play of the Fortnite event, world event and whatnot with Galactus. I think that's like a 10-minute video over there as well. But if you search Indie Ronin on there, just put a space in between it, and that should find, or you should be able to find it pretty easily. But that has been episode 29 of the Solo Gaming Updates. I look forward to podcasting for you guys again, probably in a couple days. We do also have the Game Awards coming up on December 10th, I believe. So that is when I would normally post another episode. So it may end up being a later episode possibly, but I do think that the Game Awards happens later in the day, so if you guys get an update earlier in the day on the episode, it may just be that the Game Awards gets talked about next week instead of this week, but it's okay. If you guys are looking forward to seeing what's going on there, I think normally we would do an episode of like predictions of who we think is going to win the different categories for the Game Awards, but with it just being me at the moment, Michael is still making sure he's doing his work and whatnot, and we're kind of trying to keep socially distanced and everything to stay safe and healthy as well here. So without the two of us kind of doing a like dual predictions face-off kind of thing here, it would be, you know, a little bit less fun to just have myself giving predictions and then seeing how it plays out. So in my head, I'll be hoping and rooting for a few games, things like Ghost of Tsushima and Final Fantasy VII Remake, but, and even Hades. Hades on there is a really amazing game as well. So it'll be cool to see kind of what plays out there. The one thing that I did mention to Michael is that it would be really amazing to see Hades take the Game of the Year category, because it is the first, it would be the, it, I think in my memory, it would be the first indie game that has taken Game of the Year from basically like a category that's usually filled with AAA game releases. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I'm very excited to kind of see that, as well as kind of just the different announcements that usually happen at the Game Awards. So tune in for that. I don't have the times right in front of me that I can just tell you guys when it happens, but if you search for the Game Awards on Google or Bing or whatever you use search engine-wise, then it should be something you can find pretty easily. And I believe it happens on December 10th. So until next time, hope you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and keep on playing video games. Thank you again for everybody listening, and talk to you later. Peace out.